Welcome to Leadership Moments with Justin Manzi, where we want to see leaders equipped and empowered. Jesus said, "Come follow me." The question is where are we going to follow Jesus? I've thought about that as we've been talking about this series. When Jesus said, "Come follow me," what did he mean by that? Did he mean come follow me into a church building? Did he mean come follow me into a Christian culture? Did he mean come follow me into a religion? No, he didn't. He said, come follow me into the kingdom of God. Now Jesus, he not only in his time here on earth did he introduce us to what the kingdom was, but he also invited us to come into his kingdom. Now, funny enough, 25 years ago this month, I actually came to Canada with my wife, Kim, and my daughter, Janelle. 25 years ago. And when I came to Canada, I came as a visitor. And as I came in as a visitor, I actually was a visitor here in Canada for 5 years. 5 years. Now, what does that mean? It means that I had to renew my visitor status every year. There were certain rights I did not have. There were certain responsibilities that I wasn't actually have to do. But think about this. For 5 years, I just visited. I was present here in Canada, but I was not a citizen. Until coming into the fifth year, I received a letter from Immigration Canada saying, you can no longer be a visitor. You have to make a decision. Either become a landed immigrant and become a citizen or go back to the United States. And so I guess my visitor status was coming to an end. And at that moment, I had to make a decision. Am I going to just keep visiting Canada, even though I've been here for 5 years? And I had a visitor status as being as a minister, so I could work in churches or in nonprofit organizations only, but nothing else. I had what they called a sin. My sin number was temporary. I love the idea that when you come to Canada, you get a sin card, a social insurance number. But other than that, it had like a 911 number, just basically saying you have very limited things that you can do in this country. For example, I couldn't vote, so I had no authority when it came to that. There were certain rights that I did not have. And I thought about this. I thought about, am I a visitor or am I a citizen? And I thought about this. I actually became a citizen. I got my Canadian passport. But can you imagine if I had received my Canadian passport, which now gives me responsibilities as well as opportunities to be able to take advantage of in this country. But can you imagine if I got this Canadian passport and I sat at the border and I said, well, I'm not going to utilize it. I know I have citizenship, but I'm just going to stay at the border and not enter into the country and take advantage of all that was available to me, along with some responsibilities. And also understand that I had to come under even the laws of Canada. And so when I think about this, I think of the kingdom of God. I think about the kingdom of God in a way that, what is the kingdom of God? Can I just be a visitor? And often I wonder if sometimes, we go to a church and we visit the idea of becoming a true follower of Jesus. And we have a few things that we get, maybe by visiting, people can love on us. You can receive prayer. But when do I take that opportunity to engage into the kingdom of God, where I have to then take some responsibilities, but then also gives me opportunities to experience the kingdom of God? In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. I thought about this is that when we say, Jesus said, come follow me. He's saying, come follow me into my kingdom. And when we look at that, I believe there's also times that without maybe even realizing it in this era, as pastors, sometimes we invite people into church and we spend maybe more time talking about our branding of our church and our DNA of our church and our programs when we need to be spending maybe more time introducing people to Jesus and the kingdom of God and say, this is what you are called to do, not just come sit in a building, not just come and participate into a Christian culture, but to enter into the kingdom of God and explore all that is available for you. You know, we look at Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 21, and it reads, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God cannot be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Now, when Jesus was saying that, he was saying that the kingdom of God was in him. Now think about this. The kingdom of God is like air. It needs to be in you and around you for you to be able to participate in it. It may not be able to see it, and you may not be able to see air, but I promise you, when it's absent from your body or absent from around you, you will physically die. And when the Spirit of God is alive inside of you, when you enter into the kingdom of God and you come alive in the kingdom of God, you will come to life and all that God has for you. So when we look at this, what makes up? What makes up a kingdom? Now, I shared this a couple weeks ago, but it bears repeating. And what makes up the kingdom of God is five attributes. And the five attributes are, first, you need a king. And so Jesus is our king. Second, you need a domain. You need a location. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual location. Number three, you need subjects. Well, Jesus' subjects are his disciples. Number four, you need laws or commands. And in the kingdom, there are spiritual laws that are there to protect us and keep us walking in freedom. And number five, you need a succession plan. You need to be able to go and make disciples. So we believe in the kingdom of God that Jesus has, we give Jesus authority over our life. We actually surrender and we come into this spiritual location and we say, God, we're going to follow your ways, not our will, but your will be done. It is also called the kingdom of light. And when we say, Jesus, you are the king, you are my king. Often I believe in humanity, we love Jesus, the man, because he suffered as a man. And in humanity, he walked through hurt and betrayal and all the pain. And we can relate to that Jesus. So we say, I like that Jesus, the human, because I can relate to him. But I think sometimes right there, we stop and we realize that Jesus is also king, that he is our Lord, that we're saying, God, we surrender to you. We submit to your authority. You are my king, not my way, but your way. Now, there also is a kingdom of darkness. And sometimes people look at this and go, oh, that's the devil. And it's this dark, dark place. And it's demonic. And I would never want to go into the kingdom of darkness. But let me explain to you what the kingdom of darkness, how that's set up. And just like the kingdom of light, there's five attributes to the kingdom of darkness. So the first attribute is when it comes to kingship or authority, one would say, I want to be in authority over my own life. I'm not going to be under anybody else's authority. I'm my own authority. Number two, instead of saying that domain becomes my thoughts, my rights, my body. That's my domain is me, what I think, what I feel, my beliefs, my values. The subjects, well, those are people you try to influence. You influence them and you say, I'm going to tell you why I believe this and why this is right and why that is wrong. And without having a correct understanding or maybe even a full understanding, you may influence people in ways that you never intended. But influence is just discipling people. Now, when we look at laws and commands and spiritual laws, it comes down to, once again, those spiritual beliefs or those morals that you hold up and you say what's right for me may not be right for you, but hey, as long as they're my rights, that is a part of the kingdom of darkness. The last part is a succession plan. Well, and go make disciples. Well, here you start promoting your cause. Everybody looks for a cause. And so you start promoting that cause. Well, that is, in essence, that kingdom of darkness, where you are your own authority, where you simply say, my thoughts, my rights trump everything else, that I'm going to influence people how I want to, and these are my value systems, and I have a cause, and I'm going to promote that cause. And so I wrote down some other things to be able to say, well, what are some other things to define some real practical things between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness? So the kingdom of light, there are kingdom light perspective, and then there are kingdom of darkness perspectives. So I'm going to go across. So in the kingdom of light, we forgive. That's part of being in the kingdom of light. We forgive. In the kingdom of darkness, you justify your unforgiveness. In the kingdom of light, you say, we are going to pray that God's kingdom would come. We're going to pray and ask, what's on your heart, Jesus? What is on your heart, God? But in the kingdom of darkness, one begins to worry and fret and wonder, how am I going to get through this? In the kingdom of light, we say we're going to trust God with our whole heart. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. In the kingdom of darkness, we actually begin to trust ourselves. We trust ourselves. In the kingdom of God, we walk by faith, not by sight. But in the kingdom of darkness, we walk in a spirit of unbelief. In the kingdom of light, we deny ourselves and we pick up our cross and we follow Jesus. But in the kingdom of darkness, we actually promote our own selfish ways and our own selfish ambitions. In the kingdom of light, we do God's will. But in the kingdom of darkness, we walk in what I prefer. What I prefer, my way. This is my preference. I prefer to do this way. In the kingdom of light, we walk in peace. In the kingdom of darkness, people walk and feel anxious. In the kingdom of light, we walk in generosity, giving of what we have to share it with others, whether that be our finances, whether it be our love, whether that be our gifts, whether it be all that we have been given, we freely give. In the kingdom of darkness, we take for our own gain. We allow greed to come into our hearts and we take what is ours, or what we perceive as ours. In the kingdom of light, we walk in love. In the kingdom of darkness, we walk in lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. Listen to this. In the kingdom of light, we walk in freedom. In the kingdom of darkness, we walk in bondage without even realizing it. You see, to walk in the kingdom of light, it may be short-term sacrifice, but long-term reward of joy. In the kingdom of darkness, it's a short term of pleasure, but a long term of pain and sorrow and bondage. You see, when you break, even in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of light, there are spiritual laws. And when you break those spiritual laws, you place yourself in spiritual prison. For example, unforgiveness is one of those. When you say, I'm not going to forgive, I'm going to justify my unforgiveness, you actually place yourself in a spiritual prison. When you say, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to walk in what I prefer, and then you're actually placing yourself in your own spiritual prison. And when I think about this, walking in the kingdom of light versus walking in the kingdom of darkness, I want you to know you're made up of a spirit, soul, and body. There's three parts to you, and your spirit longs to walk in the kingdom of light. But your soul and your body, they actually want to walk in the kingdom of darkness. But how that is determined is whether you actually allow your spirit to lead your life, or you allow your body to lead your life, or you, and which is your cravings and your desires, or you allow your soul to lead your life. It's your will, your way, and what you want. And the reality is that we have called to say, I want to enter into the kingdom of light. I want to walk in the kingdom of God, where truly Jesus is my Lord, that He is the King of Kings, and I want to follow Him. I want to know Him. In Colossians 1:13 through 14, it says, "For He has rescued us." Come on, He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. That's ourselves. "And transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom, forgave our sins." And so when we look at this, God is making a way through His Son Jesus to enter into the kingdom of God. Narrow is that path and few find it. Wide is the path of destruction. But the reality, God's not trying to make this difficult. He's saying, I have so much for you. I want you to be a citizen of my kingdom. I want you to explore all that I have for you, but you have to surrender your life. That's part of denying yourself and saying, God, your ways are higher than my ways. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want to stop following after my own flesh. I want to stop following after my own will and my own way. God, I want to follow your way, your will. And when we look at this, we see that the question comes is, how do I enter into the kingdom then? How do I enter? If narrow is the path, how do I enter that place? Well, in John 3:3, it says, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God." Jesus replied in verse 5, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." Now when we look at this, this is a mystery. This is a mystery in the sense of our human thinking. What does this mean, you must be born again? Well, in some ways, we've just equated that to just say a prayer and then that's it. But I'm telling you, there's more to this. That might be an entry point, but in this scripture, Jesus saying you must be born again, you must be born of water. And when we encourage people to be water baptized, what we're saying is enter into this covenant, enter in, and to enter into water baptism, what it is, and you know, it's an outward expression of an inward decision to say, I'm choosing to die with Christ. We go under the water. We die with Christ. Everything I am, my past, my present, everything that's been trying to hold me back, everything that's trying to hold me down, I'm choosing to die to all those things. Everything that wants to promote me and my flesh and my desires, I'm choosing to die to those things. And with Christ, I die. And as I come up out of that water, what it's symbolizing is I am repenting. I repent of my old ways. I am repenting of my ways of thinking, my ways of living life. I'm repenting. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to come alive in me. So repentance leads to that salvation of changing me. And so when we come up out of that water, we are being resurrected with Christ, a new creature in Christ, no longer the same. But it also says that we need to be baptized in spirit, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. To enter into the kingdom of God, our spirit needs to be activated and filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes us and empowers us to live out in the kingdom of God. We cannot access this kingdom without going through the water and then going through a baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you will not be able to see it with your human eyes. The only way you can see the kingdom of God is with spiritual perspective. So, how does this kingdom enter me? Luke chapter 13, verse 18-19 says, "Then Jesus said, 'What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it?' He says, 'It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches.'" Can I tell you? That mustard seed, this parable that Jesus is saying, he's saying, you take a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, and you place it into your spirit, into your field, into your garden, the soil of your spirit. And do you know what that seed is? That seed is Jesus. He's saying, I am that mustard seed. And when you plant me into your spirit, I will begin to grow in you as you nurture that seed, as you water that seed, as you allow the Spirit of God to come in and work and move in that. Now, there are some people, they plant that seed in their mind, in their head, and the scriptures say that the birds of the air come and they snatch it up. In other words, there are people that they want to enter the kingdom just in their mind. Oh, I know the scriptures. I know all the verses. And they might have a form, but that seed has only landed into their mind, and they struggle with debates. Is the word of God real? Is God real? And it's all debatable things in the mind. There are some that embrace that seed into their emotions, and they one day feel great, and the next day they feel horrible, but their whole life is based on whether their feelings are good or bad. But I'm telling you, Jesus is saying, if you take this seed, that's me, I'm that seed. Place it in your spirit and let it grow and develop. And watch over a period of time as you water that seed, as you nurture that seed, as you read your word and you come into prayer, you come into the presence of God, it begins to grow and you begin to mature. And there comes a time where you're actually becoming strong. You're deeply rooted in who God is, into his love. And you're able to actually bring shade to other people because of Jesus in you. Wow. Who have you given authority over your life? Who do you exalt? It will determine who you really have planted deep into your spirit. Philippians 3:20 says this, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior." He's coming back, but we get to enter into the kingdom where he abides. What must I do with this kingdom now? Let me close with this, these thoughts, these verses. What must I do in this kingdom? What am I responsible for? Well, Mark 4:26 says this, "Jesus also said, 'The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." We look at this parable, Jesus is saying, you're the farmer, I'm the farmer, and that I'm actually called to plant seeds in other people's lives. But you can only get seeds from fruit. You can only get fruit because fruit has taken place in your life. In other words, if you want to plant seeds of love, you have to actually grow the fruit of love. And then you take those seeds and you plant them into other people. If you want to walk in peace, you have to grow that fruit, has to grow and mature. And then you pick that fruit and you get to enjoy it. But then you take some of those seeds and you plant them in other people's lives. You see, based on the fruit of your life, which is really your attitudes, your actions and reactions and the decisions you make, that represents the fruit in your life. And from that fruit, there are seeds. Just like there can be seeds of hurt, anger, cynicism, pride, fear. If that grows, it becomes a fruit, an unhealthy fruit, but you can take those seeds and you begin to plant those in other people. We're called to advance the kingdom of God. That tells me we're actually supposed to sow some seeds. Listen to this. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, then we have to walk and step into the kingdom of light. The first thing we have to do is we have to let the kingdom of God advance in us. We have to ask Jesus to reveal truth to us. We have to open up His Word and get the Word of God into our spirit. We need to surrender our lives to His ways, His truths. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us continually. It's not a one-time event, it's daily, allowing the Spirit of God to fill you, to activate the gifts and callings inside of you. To surrender to Jesus every part of your life. You have to surrender your identity. You surrender your agenda. You surrender every part of who you are. You say, not my way, but your way. And number two, you share the kingdom with others. You have a part to play, and God has a part to play, and we share in that together. And our part is that we sow words of truth, words of hope, words of peace. And two, we water seeds by encouraging people, praying for people, activating those seeds. And number three, we harvest it. So when we see that love growing in somebody, when we see gifts and callings, we recognize it, we call it out, and we use it to advance God's kingdom. But God's part is He makes it all grow. Today, don't be a visitor in the kingdom of God, where you just kind of visit, you show up, you look around, and you walk away. It's time to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, as a visitor, you can experience a lot of great things. But my friend, we are called to be citizens of the kingdom of God so that we can grab our spiritual passport, that we are actually been given authority to call down demonic strongholds, to root up strongholds, to plant and to water things in the kingdom. To advance it, you and I have been given the opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God. Step into it today. If you're here today and you're listening, maybe your first step is, I want to enter into the kingdom of God. What's my first step? Your first step is to acknowledge that I don't want to walk in my way anymore. I want to walk in Jesus' way. And I acknowledge Jesus died for me. And then I want to enter into the kingdom. And if that's you, it starts with a simple prayer. Pray with me. Just simply say, Jesus, I surrender. I choose to ask for forgiveness. Please forgive me. I acknowledge that You are Lord, and that You died on the cross for me, and I want to follow You. Help me, Holy Spirit, to follow You. In Jesus' name. Your next step, go get water baptized. If you haven't been water baptized, that's the next step. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's time, my friend. It's time to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's now time to enter into the kingdom of God and advance it, and let the kingdom of God advance in us.